Second Chronicles chapter 5, and we're going to talk about the day God filled the house. I don't think Jesus filled the house today. Amen. Praise and work. Y'all are a bunch of dead Baptists. All that singing and Jesus paid it all and coming to my heart closer than me, God, and all that stuff, and all y'all can do there is sit and go, huh. What's wrong with you? Your hunt needs to get up and go hunt somewhere. Amen. Are you excited to be in God's house? One person is. Amen. Amen. Man, the day that God come and filled the house, I felt him already filling the house this morning. Amen. Oh, listen to me. We got to get excited about Jesus and excited about what he's doing because Jesus is in the house. You know how I know? Because he's in this house and I brought him to this house. What about you? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Second Chronicles chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 14. We've been talking about the family and the family of God and God being in the house. And what an amazing opportunity that God's given me and afforded me and my family to be a part of this wonderful church, a part of the family of God here and looking at what God has made up. And I want to look at some verses of scripture today, following through with that in Second Chronicles 5, verses 1 through 14. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, I thank you, Lord, that you are in the house, Lord. I thank you that we as Christians, Lord, house you in our hearts, the Lord, and that Father, we can come into your house and enter into your gates with thanksgiving in our heart and praise and worship the Lord. And Father, as Jameson sung that song, God, come closer, closer to me, Lord. Come closer to us, Lord. Let us, Father, open up our ears to hear your word this morning. Let us open up our heart, Lord, and melt that stony heart for us, Lord. And Father, let us be about your business, Lord, and look at your word and see through your word how that the church of God and the family of God here that Solomon was dealing with, how your glory filled the house, how you filled and indwelled into the leadership and into the members of the church, the Lord. And Father, I pray that we can get a glimpse of that message this morning and we can be excited about you, the Lord, that Father, you would change our hearts, the Lord, that we won't be the same as what we walked in here as, that we'll be renewed, refreshed, the Lord, and revived to go out and to be able to make it through this week with the battles that we're going to face and the things that have come against us and the opposition, the Lord, that you would strengthen us to endure, the Lord, to be able again to make it through the week and the things that lie ahead of us, the Lord. Father, let us focus on you this morning and focus on the reading of your word, the Lord. And Father, may we not only be hearers of the word, but be doers of it and apply it to our life, the Lord. Father, I pray that you bless the reading of your word to go forward, the Lord, that it cut where it needs to cut, it pierce where it needs to pierce, the Lord. And Father, that we would be the people you've called us to be today. We pray and ask your blessings upon the service, the Lord. Thank you for filling this place with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God already. Lord, anoint the reading of your word today. We're going to thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 1 through 14 says this. It says, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought all the things that David, his father, had dedicated, the silver and the gold and the instruments, and put among the treasures of the house of God. And Solomon assembled elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. And they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priests and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel were assembled. And this is what it is today. The folks are here. The leaders are here. The workers are here. You are here. The congregation is assembled of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark. Sacrifice sheep and oxen which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant and of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house and to the most holy place, even under the rings of the cherubim. But the cherubim spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark and the staffs thereof above. And they drew out the staffs of the ark, that the ends of the staffs were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel and when they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, such were the singers of all them of Asaph of Heman, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries, stringed instruments and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with the trumpets. And it came even to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord. So they that the priests could not even stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord hath filled the house of God. I want to talk to you today about God and the glory of the Lord filling the house of God. Every time I come in here, I can feel the Shekinah glory of the Lord. I can feel God's presence amongst the brothers and sisters of Christ here. It is an amazing, amazing family of God to be a part of at Crossroad Community Church, and how God is blessing. And when you come in here with the friendliness of the people, with brothers and sisters in one accord and singing and the instruments playing and singing praises unto the Lord, you can't help but feel the glory of the Lord in the house. You can't help but get excited about what God is doing. Here in our text, it gives us an exciting account of the dedication of Solomon's temple. The temple was the fulfillment of the promise made by God to King David. And he wanted to build a permanent dwelling place for the ark of God. But David was not allowed to do this because David was a man of war. But God promised David that he would give him a son and who would build a magnificent temple unto the Lord. And that son, is, of course, is what we've read here, is none other than Solomon. Solomon followed out what God wanted done. The temple had been completed at this point. Preparations were being made to dedicate the temple. And every time that I come here, I give everything to the Lord. When I'm here through the week, sometimes I walk around the property and I pray and I look at the ponds and I look at everything and I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us this place to worship in. Lord, thank you for the property. Thank you for the building, Lord. Thank you for the members, the guests and visitors. Father God, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to come here and be the under shepherd of this. Lord, it is amazing. Amazing that God is the shepherd and he allows me to be the under shepherd. It's amazing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. God, we give this all to you. Lord, it's yours. It's your people. Lord, I dedicate the building to you. Lord, I dedicate the property to you. And I go around and I pray over the seats that you're sitting in. And I thank the Lord. God, you know who's going to be here today. Lord, you know. I didn't know it, but Lord, you knew Jameson was going to sit here today in the fifth seat over. Lord, you know Danny was going to be in the seventh seat. Lord, you knew Tanya was going to be in the ninth seat. Lord, you knew. Lord, you knew Harry was going to be here. Lord, you knew Austin was going to be here. And go around and pray over them and thank God. Lord, you knew Brother James was going to be here. You knew Brother Jimmy was going to be here. And go around and praising God. You knew Brother Eddie was going to be here. You knew Miss Jackie was going to be here. You knew Miss Nancy was going to be here. And go around and praising the Lord and say, God, you knew who's going to be here. Lord, it's your building. Lord, it's all yours. Father God, we dedicate it to you, Lord. We give it to you. And Father, we have put it in its rightful place. Put it in the center and focus upon Jesus. Focus our life and centering on the Lord. Father God, it's yours. You know what the people need. You know what the church needs, Lord. You know what the needs are in the people's heart. Father, we give it to you. It's yours anyhow, the Lord. But I want to be obedient to give it to you anyhow. Be dedicating it back to you, the Lord, so that you can put your hands upon it, so that it can be a blessing, the Lord, so that when we get here, we can feel the Shekinah glory, presence of the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that you would fill this place, the Lord, with your presence. Give it to him. And here we see Solomon. Solomon was completed with what he was doing. Solomon orders the dedication and dedicating the building through what his father David had set up. Instruments were coming in. It was a temple of praise, a temple of worship. It was going to be a stationary place for the children of Israel. See, they've been wandering around in the wilderness wilderness for 40 years. They had been setting up a tabernacle, a tent here and a tent there, but they had never had a permanent place that they could come in and worship. They never had that place that they can do that. What God was seeing fit to it through Solomon, that they were going to have a place that they can come and worship with the Lord. And so many times, I think we take for granted about what God gives us, and we need to stop, and we need to thank Him and praise Him for what He's done in our life. Praise Him for what He's done in our church. Praise Him for what He's done in our family. Praise Him for giving me the opportunity to lead people to the Lord, to lead my nephew to the Lord, to lead my grandpa to the Lord at 88 years old. What an amazing opportunity. Thank You, Lord, for placing me in their life. Thank You, Lord, for placing me in the youth life right now. Having a blast back there on Wednesday night. Souls are being saved. Whatever it is, Lord, I give it to You. Place me where You want me, Lord. Use me for Your honor and glory. And dedicate it to Him. Give it over to Him. And I'm getting wound up in this tie, and the shirt might come off in a minute. But giving it to the Lord. Dedicating it to Him. Giving it to Him. Thanking Him for everything. And this was what Solomon was setting up. This was a special occasion. Indeed, Israel had never known, like I said, a stationary place to worship. Now, because of Solomon's temple, it was coming a permanent building that was going to be used for God. And I said, the day that God filled the house. If you're taking notes, God filled the house when? Number one, if you're taking notes, when the leaders of Israel were present. Look at verse 2. He said, Solomon assembled what? The elders of Israel. And what? The head of the tribes. And what? The chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is in Zion. Number one, the day God filled the house. God filled the house when the leaders of Israel were present. God filled the house in their presence. There is an element of truth to that statement. Solomon was about to dedicate the house of God. He knew the presence of himself and of the leaders of Israel would demonstrate the importance of the events. It is important for us as leaders that if God permitting, that we be faithful to the call of the ministry, faithful to study. And people don't know, realize how long that it takes to study and prepare a message or a lesson for Sunday school. But these leaders are faithful. They're dedicated week in and week out to teach our children, to have nursery and infants and toddlers and children's church and Awanas and youth ministries and working throughout the church to provide all these. It takes leaders. Thank the Lord for the leaders that show up. Thank You, Lord. I meant Steve. Thank You. Thank You for those leaders. Thank You for those that dedicate their time and their service to the Lord. Thank You for those that have assembled. And it said when they all assembled, it says Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up thou ark. These people were assembled together. I know there's times that we can't be here due to work or vacations or trips or family coming in or sicknesses and things of that nature. I understand. I've been there before myself. I understand. But as leaders, they were faithful. They assembled together. And when they did, the presence and the power of the Shekinah glory filled that place with them. And I thought about leadership. Leadership's not a rank. It's not a privilege. It's not about money. It's not about a title. You can have all that and not mount to a hill of beans. It's about the heart and a servant's heart willing to serve and give the heart and life to the ministry that God's called us to be a part of. It's a part of that. It is established, my friend. It was established for us to be. Leadership is a responsibility. When one has been given a responsibility, a position, whether it's in a church home, a family home, or in a job or whatever, there's a certain amount of responsibility of setting a standard for faithfulness, setting a standard that we have, whether it's at school, in college, at your job, or wherever it is. When you're given a leadership responsibility, it automatically comes a certain amount of responsibility with that. And so we're to give it to the Lord. Give it back to the Lord. As a leader, give it to the Lord. Give it to Him. Give your Sunday school classes to Him. Give your children to Him. Give your spouses to Him. Give your family to Him. Give it all to the Lord. And let God begin to deal with us and be the leaders that God has designed and desired us to do. So when God's presence filled the house, He filled the house when the leaders and Solomon gathered the leaders of Israel and they were present. Not only that, but number two is when the congregation was assembled together as well. Look at verses 3 through 6. It said, "Wherefore all men of Israel," all men of Israel, "assembled themselves, and to the king of the feast, which in the seventh month, and all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark of the tabernacle of the," what? "Congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priests and did the Levites bring up. These did the priests and the Levites bring up, and also King Solomon, and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark, sacrifice sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for their multitude." When God filled the house is when the congregation assembled themselves together. It is important that every member of the church come together. I say it all the time. Unless all the members are present, my friend, the body of Christ is insignificant. It is not complete, my friend, unless all its members are present. God loves us all, and there's times that we're going to have to miss. It's unfortunate. It happens. We're all going to miss from time to time. But when we can, you are an important part of the worship service. You are an important part of the assembly together. You are an important part of Sunday school and children's church in whatever category and capacity you serve in. You are an important part of that. Just as I said, if you were to cut your arm or your leg or something off, your body would be incomplete without that part. We're incomplete without you, brothers and sisters. We're incomplete as a church without you. You are an important part of this church here. You're loved. You're missed. I need you here. There might be sometimes I need to call upon you. And if you ain't here, what am I going to do? I need you. I love you. You're an important part of the ministry here. I thank God for you. There's no way that I could do what I do here without you. There's no way. I thank the Lord for you every day. Thank God that He sent you our way. The body suffers when you're missing. You're an important part of the family of God at Crossroad. And we need to be here. Like I said, I might have to call on you sometime. I might have to put you on the spot. Maybe my voice would go out and I have to say, "Hey, you need to preach for me today." I might have to use you. And we need to be ready. So thank the Lord that the power of God filled the house when the congregation was assembled together. And what a mighty congregation God has assembled together today. What a mighty congregation He assembled together. What the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God that has filled this place today gives us a freedom to worship, a freedom to praise the Lord, a freedom if we want to lift our hands and praise Him to praise Him, a freedom if we want to say amen to say amen. It's a freedom that God gives us as the assembly of God and the congregation of believers in the body of Christ comes together. It is an amazing time of worship, an amazing time to experience God. Not only that, when God filled the house. God filled the house when, number three, when they made sacrificial offerings. I'm going to tell you, this is an amazing church. This church is an amazing church, one of the most giving churches I've ever experienced and been a part of in my entire life. This church is amazing. Just as this morning when I walked off, you seen that we got a children's church teacher back there willing to put Kool-Aid in her head and try to dye it purple. Because she loves children, and these children worked hard, and this is the second time they've raised over $1,000 for the building fund. It's amazing. The children need to know. Clap loud enough so they can hear it back there. You know that you love them. You appreciate them. You know, amazing, amazing. For a youth group to be able to raise $10,000, they beat all of us adults and the children to the punch. Give them a hand. An amazing time, amazing, amazing place to worship, an amazing giving church, giving of their time and money and sacrificing their talents and stuff. And when they made sacrificial offerings, God filled the house when it was made. Look at verse 6 again. It said, "And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark," what? "Sacrifice sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. They sacrificed. They were willing in offering to the Lord in worship and adoration. We're not required to sacrifice animals today in order to worship God. We are asked by God to sacrifice something a whole lot more valuable than sacrificing animals. He tells us in Romans 12:1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. Something far more precious than an animal is your life and my life. And he sees us as a living sacrifice for him. When we give our heart and life to him, he wants us to become a living sacrifice for him. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Paul is saying here, we must make full surrender to the Lord. We give the Lord the sacrifice of our time, our energies, our talents, our finances for his service, for the service of the Lord, and blessed by giving of that thing. We see that the Lord, when we give, this is one of the most giving and amazing churches that I've ever been a part of. This church, my friends, sacrifices in their time, sacrifices in their talent, their gifts for the Lord, sacrifices in the abilities of what God has given them financially, sacrifices. I've never been a part of a church that sacrifices like we do, sacrifices so that God's kingdom can grow, sacrifices that the Lord will build up, sacrifices that you and I as families, when we have times of trouble or trials or tribulations come up, you band together as a congregation and a body of believers. You come together and you sacrifice your time, you sacrifice your money, you sacrifice whatever it is for the kingdom of God to be exalted, for our brothers and sisters to be lifted up, for one another to be drawn together. You sacrifice, and that's when that sacrifice is being done, that's when we see the Shekinah glory of God presence filling the house of the Lord. And you can feel the excitement when it happens. And here King Solomon was experiencing the same thing. The people began to make sacrifices unto the Lord in the service. And we see as we go on, we see that as they begin to do that, as things begin to fall in order, as they begin to be obedient to the call of God upon their life, and they begin to worship him, and they begin to put things in the proper perspective, in the proper place, God's power begin to fail. They begin, the anointing begin to come, and God's spirit filled the house, my friends. And that's what we're experiencing, what God is doing. Not only that, but number four, when the ark was placed in the desired location, the most holy place, God filled the house. Filled the house when the ark was placed in the desired location of the most holy place. Look at verse 7 through 10 again. It said, and the priest brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord into his place, to the earl core of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth the wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark, and the staffs thereof above, and they drew out the staffs of the ark, that in the ends of the staffs were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it was unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save two tables, which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, and when they came out of Egypt. We see that the ark was placed in its desired location. The ark of the covenant was a physical symbol of the presence and the power of God among his people. It reminded them, with the ark, when they looked at it, they were reminded of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. How God had been with them. How God led them. How God directed them. How God took care of them. They were reminded of that when they seen the ark of the covenant. And then the lid on the ark. It was called the mercy seat. It was there between the wings of the cherubim that God's glory appeared one time a year on the Day of Atonement, and consumed and communed with the high priest and rolled back the Israel's sins for one more year. Just as the ark represents God's presence and power and returned it into its revered place of the holies of holies, we must be careful to keep the Lord as the center and focus point in our life and in the life of God and in the house of God. He has to be in the center of everything we do. He has to be in the focus point of everything that we say and do and in our life and in God's house. We must be careful not to grieve the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. St. Augustine once said, Jesus Christ is not valued at all until he's valued above all. In other words, Jesus must be the center of our life. Jesus must be the center of our life, the center of our church, the center of everything we do. He must be the center of that. And I promise you that when we put Jesus in his rightful place in your life and in my life and in the life of the church, then God's Shekinah glory will fill the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and in your home, at at your job, and in our church house. God's Shekinah glory, his presence will be evident. His presence will be real in your life, in my life, in our house, in every arena, in every aspect that we're in. When God is put in the proper place, my friends, then we feel the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, my life, and in the life of the church. Number five, when God filled the house is when there was praise going on. With the music and for his goodness and his mercy. Look at verses 11 through 13. It said, and it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and they did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, and all of Asaph of Heman, with the sons of the brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psaltery, string instruments and harps, stood in the east end of the altar, and them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Can you just imagine the worship that was going on in that place? Can you just imagine 120 trumpeters sounding out, singing praises and worshiping the Lord? Can you just imagine? Oh, you said you heard how great it sounded up here this morning. Can you imagine if we added 120 more musicians to it? Woo, glory to God. Jameson says, bring it on, brother. What a day. What 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices, the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercy endure forever. And then what? The house was filled with a cloud, and the house of the Lord. They praised him when the musical program that day had been something to hear. Everyone was involved. Everyone was enthusiastic. Everyone was praising the Lord. There was 120 trumpeters present on that day. Some people view a song service as entertaining instead of worship. We need to look and inside ourselves, as Jameson sang that last song, Lord, melt our ears. Open up our ears, Lord. Open up our hearts. Draw me close to you, God. God, draw closer to me. That's what we need to start off with. Evermore, Lord, when we enter this place, draw me closer to thee, Lord. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a cleansing stain. But praise God, he washed me white as snow. Lord, enter into his presence with thanksgiving. Enter into his presence with praise. Thanking God for his goodness and mercy. Oh, we need to praise God today for his goodness and his mercy that he has towards us. Oh, listen to me. God deserves our praise simply because he has not dealt with us according to what we deserve. Thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace. He tells us in Psalms 103:10. In Psalms 103:10, he said, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Thank you, Lord. We need to praise God for a great salvation he has given us. Thank the Lord that he spared us. And thank the Lord that he saved us with his mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord. The last thing, if you're taking notes, God revealed his presence, and his presence was overwhelming. God filled the house, and he revealed his presence, and his presence was overwhelming. Look again at verse 13 and 14. It said, and it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpeters and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endure forever. And then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. God revealed his presence, and his presence was overwhelming. This cloud was none other than the Shekinah glory of God. This was the same cloud that God's presence and power that appeared to the Israelites in the wilderness wandering. In Exodus 13, 21, 22, it said this. It said, and the Lord went before them by a pillar of a cloud, and led them in the way, and by night in the pillar of a fire, to give them light and to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. The Lord's presence was overwhelming. My friend, we serve the same God today. The same God today, and his presence, my friend, when he gets all over you, it's overwhelming. You can't do nothing but praise the Lord. My friends, you can't do nothing but buckle on your knees. Oh, listen to me. God's order of service needs to be the only order of service that we're worried about. Worried about God's order of service and what God wants to do should be the only thing we're worried about. His presence was so powerful, the priest could not even stand to minister, for the Shekinah glory of the Lord had filled the house. My friends, and it's the same thing that God does here. I'm so thankful to be a part of a church that God fills the house, because all the leaders are present and they are ready and working. They're here for Sunday school to lead it. They're here for children's church to lead it. They're here for Awanas to lead it. They're here for nurseries to lead it. They're here when we have funerals to do. They're here when we got weddings to do. They're here to clean up. They're here to set up. They're here to serve. They're here to greet you when you come in the door in the morning. They're here to pray and assemble together and sing praises and worship to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you fill your house when your leaders are present. When you as a congregation are assembled together as you are here this morning, we feel the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, when we make offerings and sacrifices like you've seen this morning, which this church does on a continuous basis, and the children raising $1,500, it is made, and you feel his presence when people are involved. When the ark was put in its proper place in the church, then he filled the house with his Shekinah glory. And it's when God is put in the perfect place in your life and in my life and in the life of the church, God's presence is real and shows up. When there's praising and the music and worshiping going on and praises are going on and thanking God for his goodness and mercy, God fills the place with his presence. God was revealed and his presence was overwhelming, and it's the same thing we experience when God's presence is in the house. Jameson, y'all can come back. When God is put into his proper place and proper location, my friends, then God will fill the place and his presence will be felt in the house. Not only that, my friends, but when God is put in his proper place in your life and in my life, wherever we go, God begins to be real and evident in our life. Whether it's at the workplace, whether it's in family life, whether it's with our spouses, whether it's with our children, whether it's in the body of believers and the congregation that God has given us here, and what an amazing family it is. My friend, when people come together and they have those things put in proper places, God begins to be real in our life. God's evidence is manifest in you and me. What an amazing church to be a part of, to feel the presence and the power of the Shekinah glory of God. Maybe you're here and you've never felt that. Maybe you're here and you've never asked Jesus in your heart to be your Lord and Savior. He tells me in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you open up your heart and give your heart and life to him, and follow through that baptism like Adam did today and some of our youth have done in the past week or two. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. We would love to be your home. We would love to be part of your family. We would love for you to be a part of the family of God here. If God leads you this way, we would love to have you. You come on, I'd love to be your pastor. This body of believers would love to be your family. Maybe you want to come and pray about something that God has laid upon your heart. We open up these altars and you come, and we won't close them until the Holy Spirit is done. We're led by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Whatever it is in your life, will you be obedient to the call of God upon your life today? Will you stand?